Item 5, review and discuss, and discussion of the Brazos River Authority's proposed fiscal year 2007 annual operating plan and budget. John Hall.
Thank you very much. Before we get started, I handed out copies of a replacement page to everyone. It goes in tab 8, which is planning services, and it's basically pages 3 and 4. But the purpose of this, the reason we need to replace it, is just the narrative side is the page 8, where we had left off some of just the vital. It wasn't as complete in what you had originally in there, so that's none of the numbers changed or anything. It was just the write-up of that. We actually merged, just to give that information to this group, we actually had two separate groups last year, strategic planning and technical analysis. We merged those two groups into one group, and so that's what happened, and we just failed to merge some of the written information. So that, we just put that in and we'll discard the old page. That just gets it a little more accurate. So we're going to take a few minutes. You have a copy of this presentation. I believe it was handed out at the table there that we're going to go through. There's about 30, I think it's 31 slides or so, presentation we'll go through. And all of the information in these slides is in your book. This is more summarized in some cases, and I'll try to refer you as we go through it to where it refers to the book, because there's more detail in the book, obviously, than what I'm going to go through in the presentation. But at any point, certainly stop, and I will go into any further detail that you all may wish. Also, we're going to start with sort of a high level, as you can imagine, sort of a high level of budget, and sort of drive down a little more detail as we go through it. Hopefully, it'll be logical, and we'll follow through. Right. Anyway, next page, next slide. Vision. Our vision, obviously, at Brazos River Authority is to recognize leader in water resources and service in the state of Texas. Next slide. Next slide. This current year, this is just an overview, very high-level overview of the year we're in right now, fiscal 06. It basically shows that our beginning balance, that we start the year at reserve balance that we have, or almost cash investments if you think about it, it's our working capital reserves, is about $27 million. As I mentioned before, when we did the third quarter budget, we're going to expect a surplus, an operation surplus of about $3 million, $3.1 million this year is our best projection. It'll probably vary a little bit by that when finally the year gets done and we have an audit and everything, but it's going to be somewhere in that ballpark, we believe. We budgeted about $800,000 surplus is what the board approved in the budget for this current year, the 06 year, to give you an idea of that. So, and that comes as a result of both additional revenues, you'll see a little bit of that, a little bit additional revenues, as well as savings on the expense side create that additional surplus. Then the capital expenditures, we're projecting spending about $6.9 million on capital projects and expenditures this year. You can see where I've sort of detailed in summary what those are. A lot of these are going to be the same capital projects we're going to talk about in the 07 budget, because they just, a lot of them continue on. And then a lot of this, I'm sure these are familiar with you, the system permit project, Grand Flood Control. You see the SWATS project. We have both I just sort of put it all together on one line, the EDR, the UFRO, remediation expenditures, the raw water line. Those are, of course, both of those are primarily legal fees. Is what those two expenditures are. The property management study that we did, the Stahlbeck study this year that was done, the West Williamson County, this is just some preliminary engineering and things on the West Williamson County project. And then the groundwater, there was some discussion, of course, we had some groundwater discussions. This was, I think we referred to PB Water, and it's a consultant we had doing a lot of analysis. That's what that cost was some of our consulting analysis. Because we have not purchased any groundwater yet to date. That's the engineering associated. Corps of Engineers pool rise. We have done work, and you'll see that again. We're going to have a pool. We're working with Corps of Engineers on a pool rise feasibility project for some of the core lakes and stuff. And then just miscellaneous other projects that add up to that form. Then you can see down our bond proceeds reimbursements. I mentioned earlier this morning, $8.2 million. We We sold two bond issuances for the PK Gate rehab and also the Taylor plant. We were able to reimburse ourselves $8.2 million of monies we'd already spent on those projects. We added those back into our reserves. And you see that we project to end up with about $31 million in reserves at the end of this year is sort of our projection of our unrestricted reserves. Next slide. This is now looking forward to this next year, the upcoming year we're talking about from a budgetary standpoint that starts September 1, 2006. Start with $31 million. You're going to see in a minute the surplus we project in our budget is about $1.3 million. I'll explain sort of what that's made up of while we have that. The capital expenditures, again, a lot of the same types of projects that continue. About $8.4 million of spending out of reserves. And you can see those projects. And, again, it's a lot of the same type of projects. And we'll talk about it in a little more detail as we go through. That's just an overview. Bring us now to a balance of about $24 million is the projected balance at the end of the proposed fiscal year of 07. Next slide. Okay, now we're going to start just going into going into the budget a little more specifically. Next slide. This is the proposed budget summary. As we've discussed, our business is really broken in the broadest sense into two major lines of business. The water supply system that we have, which is the major discretionary part of our business we have, and then our cost reimbursable business, which is made up of about 10 cost reimbursable contracts that we have. And, of course, as you can see, we have in the middle column, we have revenues about $18.2 million. And that is then offset by expenses of basically the same amount. And then all the funds, you can see that their working capital, about $500,000 up at the top in the cost reimbursable, is monies that are really our customers' money. They either over-contribute or under-contribute on a net basis. They've actually over-contributed all of them collectively, and that's their money. And so we take it out in designations. In this case, it was $300,000 because they used $200,000. In this next year, we're proposing that they're actually going to use $200,000 of the $500,000 collectively to pay their expenses rather than give us the cash. They've got money saved up, if you will. And so they're going to end up with approximately about $300,000 at the end. But that's designated, so I back it out so that we get back to the $24 million that we talked about just a minute ago. It's really the BRA money. And that's really on the water supply side. And again, the numbers we just talked about, this shows just a little more detail about it, about how much revenues you're going to have on the water supply side, about $31 million in revenues. And then you can see the different expenses, O&M expenses, operational maintenance expenses, the debt service, capital outlay, which is really the replacement of equipment and vehicles and technology upgrades and things like that. And then project expenditures, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, which is a little bit of a new item that brought part of our project expenditures into the operating budget because they're really of an expendable nature. They're not capital. They're not going to be capitalized, and they represent some studies and environmental things that we're going to do. And that's going to get you the $1.3 million surplus. And then you can see the $8.4 million and get you the $24 million. So that shows the detail. You basically can see on the far right on the total of the two, we're about almost the $50 million in revenue in total. For the entire authority is just the size. Okay, next slide. Okay, and that just shows with the total revenues, just give you a perspective of where they come from, $49.7 million. Again, the largest piece of it is about $21 million is raw water sales. We'll talk about that in more detail as we go down and break that down a lot more. $18.2 million, the other big piece, is the cost reimbursable contracts that I've already talked about. They're going to be offset by the same amount of expense. And then you see the other pieces. Treated water, the blue $1.2 million of treated water is our East Williamson County, our revenue projected from the East Williamson County operation, the Taylor facility, if you will. Lake operations in the green $2.6 million is all of our lake operations, but the majority of that is at Possum Kingdom and it's the cottage site leases. The cottage site leases represent about $1.5 million. Of that $2.6 million. So they represent the bulk of that. And then the rest are commercial leases, dock fees, and other fees that we receive, not just at PK, but at Granberry and Limestone. So that's what the $2.6 million is. Grants, $1.4 million. We receive grants for various projects, Brazos, Navasota, various environmental projects, reimbursement for Brazos G. We're the administrator of Brazos G, and we receive grants associated with that, and that's what that number that then offsets the cost that we have in our expense on the expense side. Management fees, the little black sliver there of $500,000, represents the, in most cases, the 5% fee that we get from the cost reimbursable side that we actually get paid, if you will. That's sort of our profit or our fee for managing those cost reimbursable. And, of course, that moves over into the water supply side that we get to have there. Interest and other, of course, that's just investment of our available cash and investments, $1.6 million. We've already talked about cost reimbursable. Wastewater treatment, the purple $2.5 million represents really two operations, Georgetown, the city of Georgetown, which is not a cost reimbursable operation. It's a unit-based operation that we operate multiple wastewater treatment plants in the city of Georgetown and Sugar Land, where if you remember, we used to have a cost reimbursable operation for Sugar Land. Then they went out to bid. We were successful, won the bid for not only that plant, but the other plant at Sugar Land. So now we have two plants and we operate at Sugar Land on a unit price basis. And it's part of the water supply system. So that sort of purplish represents those two operations there, $2.5 million. And then hydroelectric, the last piece, is our hydro operations PK, which represents between $600,000 and $700,000, a year. And we'll talk about that a little bit further. So that just gives you a breakdown of where the revenues all come from. Next slide. This, the cost reimbursable number we just talked about, this, I won't spend much time, but these are the 10 operations that make up the $18.2 million cost reimbursement. You can certainly see SWATS is the largest, the biggest one in blue. The next biggest one is Brushy Creek. They're at 22%. Then Temple Belton in the yellow, and the Williamson County raw water line is similar, and then you see the smaller ones. The supplemental revenues, by the way, that you see up there 1%, in case anybody wondered what that is, that's really related to Temple Belton, and I probably could have just rolled that into Temple Belton. That's the sale of compost and other byproducts that come as a result of that plant. So, but I think it's all related to the Temple Belton plant, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right. So, that just gives you an idea for the cost reimbursement method. Next slide. Okay, now this is the revenue on the water supply side. Now we're going to spend most of the rest of the time just talking about the water supply system, of course. And this is the revenue that represents the rest of that big pie chart you saw before of the $49.7 million, the $31.5 million. We've talked about this already, so I won't spend a lot of time. But what's highlighted in yellow there is the $12.1 million. And that's the system revenue. You can see raw water sales, we break into two categories. Non-system, which is means that non-system price. Those are prices that have been negotiated under long-term agreements, either two-tier pricing, CPI-based pricing, utility agreements we have, LCRA water that we bought, the LCRA water we bought, ag water, agricultural water. That's what's in the non-system. And then the system is the rest of the water that we have that's all at one price, and it's all at the system price. And what we really, if you want to think about the purpose of the entire budget process in a way, is to figure out what does your system rate need to be, or how much water, how much revenue do you need to raise from your system revenue water to be able to balance your budget, and then therefore what rate does it take to generate that. And that number is $12.1 million this year, and you'll see how that equates to the system rate that we're going to get to in just a second. That's what the significance of that is. It becomes almost the how you solve your budget for that particular number. So, okay, next slide. This really now begins to show the steps that I was just talking about of how you get, and you see the $12.1 million in the middle thing. Now, I show 06 as a comparative, and we can talk about that a little bit, is how it changed from the 06 budget to the 07. But it shows how you get to the requirement of $12.1 million. You basically start with the expenses that you're budgeting or expect to have, both O&M, debt service, capital outlay, project expenditures. We've talked about that just a little before. We talked about those expenditures. You see a total of $30.2 million. Then you have to have certain debt coverage and reserve requirements you've got to meet contractually from your bond covenants and also our reserve policy that you all on the board approved several quarters ago, so a year or so ago, and we have to meet, as an example, the debt coverage, the debt service that we have up there of $6.6 million, you have to have 30%, you have to have 1.3 times that debt service, so you actually have to create a surplus of 0.3% or 0.3 of your debt coverage, and that's included in your debt coverage. And then the reserve requirements is really made up of two things in this case. that when your O&M costs are going up, which you can notice that the O&M costs are going up about $800,000 this year, that you have to increase your working capital. We have a 90-day working capital reserve that is a function of that. It's basically 25% of your O&M costs. So when they go up, you have to increase your reserve to keep the reserve at the right level. And so that represents part of the reserve requirements that we have to have. And the other reserve requirement was referred to in Jim Forte's presentation a little bit earlier about the repair and replacement fund. When the engineer, Freeze Nichols, came back as a result of their study, they determined that the fund should be $4.4 million. We had already had in reserves $4.3 million. We were very close to that number, but it's about $118,000 short. So we have to add reserve money of $118,000. So that's what the $1.3 million is how much you have to have in debt coverage and additional reserves. And that actually becomes your surplus that you have if you think about it, because otherwise everything balances except for that extra that you have to have there. Then you back out of that. You see where it says less revenues. You back out of the revenues, both the raw water non-system revenues that we talked about, which again include utilities. It's your fixed raw water sales that you have that you can't change the pricing on. And you back out of other revenues. Other revenues we've discussed too. That's the treated water. That's the lake operations. That's interest and other. That's grants. That's everything else. So those are all the revenues we have, which total $19.4 million. And so if you add 30.2 to your coverage and reserve requirements of 1.3, that gives you 31.5. You subtract 19.4 from it, you have to come up with 12.1 in the system calculation. And you can see how that requirement last year was 10.3. So actually that's an increased system water revenue requirement of $1.8 million that you basically have to raise this year. The good news is that we sold a lot of additional water right here. We're selling additional water right here at the end of 2006, and we're going to have a significant amount of additional water sales in 2007. So we don't have to raise our rate to make up that whole $1.8 million. We're going to make a lot of it up. In fact, we're going to make two-thirds of it up in volume and just selling additional water volume so that the rate doesn't have to go up nearly as high as a result of that. And we'll talk a little bit about the expenses in a minute is what's going up on the expense. Well, I'll talk about it here with this. On the O&M side, the $800,000 that we have is really made up of one big piece. The Corps of Engineers has raised their we have to reimburse them for the O&M costs of the Corps of Lakes and things like that, and they are raising their costs by about $500,000 this year due to various programs and projects that they have for all the Corps of Lakes, and there's some flood operations projects that they're doing there and stuff that we are contractually obligated to pay for. So that's going up. So that's a big chunk of that increase. The rest of that increase is based upon we have some compensation increases that we budgeted in, and I'll talk about that in a minute. There'll be a slide we'll talk about it, but we budgeted for some salary increases, and we also have benefits going up slightly, but then we have some other things going down. Our professional services are going down some, and in a few other areas. So you can see the remainder is going up about $300,000, which is only about 1.5%. If you take the core cost out of there, it's only an increase of about 1.5%. Our whole O&M budget is going up, so it's not a real big increase. Debt service is up $500,000 because we sold debt, of course, new debt last year. It was sold a little bit into the year, so we got more of an annualized cost up. We got 12 months of it this year of those new debt issuances. But then we also have a new debt issuance that we're going to have to sell to finish the East Williamson County expansion. We sold part of it. We sold $10 million in debt last year to start the East Williamson County expansion and pay ourselves back for the acquisition of the plant. But we're going to have to borrow another $17 million, as you all saw earlier in the contract that you approved. We're going to have to borrow $17 million basically to finish construction, be able to construct then the expansion of the plant. So that's why the debt service is going up. Capital outlay is going up a couple $100,000. We have some of that's technology. We have some upgrades and some projects on the technology side. Our Lawson system, over the next 2 years, we're going to actually upgrade to the next level of our Lawson system. We're going to start some of that next year on the consulting side and do some design and change our accounting structure a little bit and put in place some things that will make it a little more efficient. So we're going to begin some of that, and then we'll finish it in the 08 year. But then there's also some improvements that we need to make in capital outlay. And there's detail, by the way, the capital outlay member is detailed in tab 13. There's a detailed capital outlay that shows that $700,000 and the specific items and everything. If you want to refer to that, and I'll be happy to discuss any of those if you need to. And then project expenditures we'll talk about again, but that's referred to. There's six projects there that are water, environmental, and pool and core pool rise projects and things like that. So that's what's happening there. Next slide.
John?
Yes.
What constitutes a system rate billing unit?
Good question. I'm sorry. A system rate billing unit is it's acre feet. It's the quantity of acre feet that are under system rate contracts. Okay? Now, I'll show you in just a second. If you hold that thought, I'll get you to that. I'll get you to the charts, just about two or three charts down. This refers to it also on this chart. This shows that you take the $12 million you divide that you're required in your system rates, you divide it by the number of system contract units, which are 231,000 acre feet, and you have to set then your system rate at $52.50. So that's what our proposed system rate is $52.50, and that's strictly a function of what your total dollar requirement is divided by the number of acre feet you have under contract for system water, and that gives you that. You can see that's an increase of 5.7%. From last year's, or the current year's rate, I guess you'd say, 49.65. Okay. So that's quick, the high level on the system. Okay, next slide. All right, this begins to break down. Hopefully we get the answer. Yes.
Go back to your previous slide.
Okay.
The 231,615 that you're dividing by, you mentioned we had sold a lot of system water in six. Does the 231.65 include projected 2007, or is that actually what we have under contract for six?
That's what we have under contract right here, or we expect to have under contract by the end of 06. It was really
representative. So we don't have any projections.
No, there's no projection unless something surprising happens to us and somebody either buys or doesn't or wants to turn in water here. Something which we have a policy to deal with that anyway. But that is the contracts we actually have under contract.
So that number could get better, not worse.
It could get better. It's more likely it'll get better than it'll get worse, I would say. That would be my perception of it. Okay. Next slide. Okay, this just shows the breakdown. We have total water sales of 631,000 acre feet. That's our total. You may have remembered before David Wheelock showed in his water management plan, he was talking about 661,000 acre feet of water permitted. Well, this is how much we sold of that 661, really. Well, actually, to be honest, we actually had some contracted water. That was just 661 was just the permitted water. We bought 25,000 acre feet from LCRA. We have 3,000 foot contract from Sanford. So that actually adds to it. And then we've got two agreements, the City of Temple for 18,500 that we don't get paid for. It comes out of the number. And then we also reserve water for the City of Taylor under East Woods County. It comes out of it. The bottom line is you get back to about 658,000 acre feet of total available. And we've actually have under contract 631. If you'll go to the next slide, I think it'll become more clear to you. These are the numbers of it. You see the 631 down here, and we actually have water held in reserve or available water of 27,000. If you add those two numbers together, you get 658,400, and that represents the amount of water that's really available to be sold that we can sell for, because we have some water that we have permits and stuff, but we can't get money for it. I mean, like I was mentioning, Temple and Taylor and stuff like that. So the total water available for sale is 658, of which we have 631 under contract, leaving us 27,000 acre feet unavailable. You see, last year we only had 606 under contract, and we had 51,000. So the difference is obviously about 24,000 acre feet is water we have sold just this year, and that will be in the portfolio, if you will, for 07 in future years. So there's been a significant amount of additional water sold, which is what I was referring to. And you see the difference, of course, it's most of it's in the system water. There's been a little bit of changes in the units, in ag water and tubes here, but they're pretty close. They remain very close. They didn't change at all. Colorado Basin water changed a little bit. We restructured some of the things where Georgetown and Chisholm are giving up their water to buy system water, and Round Rock's buying their water. And so there's some in and outs going on there. So that's why that's changing. But you can see the average price, and again, that's our proposed system rate of $52.50 versus last year's. And you can see the ag rate, which was locked in at about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, the ag rate based on board policy was set at that. And then you see the much lower rates of two-tier and fixed-priced and utilities. The utilities are lower, and just to remind everyone of what's going on there, TXU and NRG basically, primarily TXU, entered into, of course, building for all practical purposes, Lake Limestone and Granbury, and paid the debt service and the O&M cost on that. The debt service is all but paid off. Well, it is paid off at Limestone. There's a little bit left on Granbury. And so all they're really left under contractually is to pay the O&M cost. And that's why their effective rate is so low. But they've paid all the debt service on those facilities and things over the years. So anyway, so that shows the summary of just sort of the different of how all of our water sales, 631,000, breaks down. And you can see that the system rate of 231 represents about 36% of the total, about a third. And, of course, over time, that's going to increase as some of these contracts expire. The next slide will show you, I think, how long some of these have to expire. And these are just the top seven largest. These are non-system rate contracts. That's what it stands for there. And I've got them sorted to where we actually have this next year. Gulf Coast Water, which is a 23,000 acre-foot contract, is going to expire in March of 07. And they have currently a rate of $27. And, of course, we hope and expect that they will renew that contract, and that will be a system rate, which will almost double their price, if that's the case. So, but at this point, we don't have that. We don't have that here.
Yes, I was going to ask you, what do they intend to? What, have you heard from these folks?
Well, I don't know.
They came about 2 years ago, and if you recall, everybody that would talk to them, they attacked the chairman, they attacked me, they attacked everybody. Came up here, spent a day, going through our books, and then all of a sudden the rhetoric stopped. I think the realization that our option is a viable option, unless they surprise the Johns, I'm not sure. We think that they're probably gonna re-up.
What other option would they have if they didn't want to?
That's right. Buy it from
Chocolate
Bayou or Houston, but Houston says they're not gonna sell to them. So
are they gonna give us grief during our systems ops permit? Because that was one of the things they did. They came to all our meetings and protested every time.
They've kind of gone co-mackle trail for a while.
But you have not allowed for any of that.
I have not allowed for that. You'll see when I get in the five-year forecast. Well, first of all, it doesn't change 07. We get paid for 07 the last year of the agreement. And that's really for water through the 07 fiscal year. So that they'll pay us in March. That's the end of the contract, but it's for water through the fiscal year. So it'll impact in 08. And I did not, in my forecasting, I did not allow for what may happen. So it actually will improve our financial position in future years, depending on how that 23,000 acre feet gets resold. But anyway, that's just to show you. You can see the other contracts, primarily the utility contracts, except for Dow and Bell down at the bottom, Bell County, represent the lion's share. 75% of all the non-system water is represented by those seven contracts there and stuff. And you can see their rates and everything when they come off. So over time, they will arguably migrate the system, but it'll take a little while.
An interesting thing happened, what was it, Matt, here in Dallas Friday? They had a meeting of the Natural Resources Committee, and one of the things that came out of the discussion was, where's Houston from?
Jesse Houston is from
the Society. And the question to him was, well, where is this water going to come from? And his quote was, system water. And the chairman, Kip Avery, said, Well, but what if that takes longer? What are you going to do? And so my question back to Matt, my reporter, was, he controls later and longer, so, you know, he can help us to do that. So my point is that the people are already starting to plan on that because they're in two regional plans, and so the system thing, we may not get all of it, but I think we'll get a substantial amount that hopefully will make that get smart, or still smart.
Well, the system water is so much cheaper than all of those reservoirs that are in all of the plans, you have to do that.
Sure.
Unless politics gets involved.
True.
That's right. Yeah, that 23,000 acre feet of water, even in our system rate, is pretty cheap. Well, it's not cheap compared to groundwater down in that area, as we've talked about, but I mean, certainly from surface water, the subsidence can take care of that.
John, the question while you were out was, what are we hearing from our boys in Gulf Coast? And I said, we've been cold mic about a year.
Extremely cold mic because they don't, I think a lot of it depends on what happens with the conversion plan. The negotiations have been difficult on the purchase of that water right, and that water right's dependability is not very good where it is. They really need to move the conversion point upstream.
Just like us.
So that gives you, the next slide, I think we turn our attention to the expense side. So we've gone through the revenue side, where the money's coming from and the breakdown of it and what's required from the system rate. We'll look a little bit at that expense side, and of course that drives, just as you saw in the formula back there, it drives what the system rate needs to be and what the revenues. But the overall expense is $48.4 million for the entire authority. You can see the biggest chunk of that is on the water supply on the inside, which you see on the black section over there on $18.2 million is the cost reimbursable. And, of course, you remember that's the same number as the revenue side because they're cost reimbursable contracts and they basically equal each other. So these other four pieces are the water supply. We've already talked to the $22.3 million, the debt service of $6.6 million, the capital outlay we've talked about $0.7 million, and then the project expenditures of $0.6 million. So that's sort of the four pieces, if you will, of expense on the water supply side. Okay, next slide. I think I've alluded to this briefly, but this one of the big assumptions we have from a human resource standpoint is the employee compensation benefits. The ECI, and you remember years ago, Pat Adams went through a pretty lengthy process to discuss the, and in effect to put in place a policy where we would try to keep consistent with market from a salary standpoint by using the ECI, the Employment Cost Index. This year, the index is actually, and last year you all approved a budget that included a 3.3% increase, across the board increase that was implemented based on ECI. This year, the ECI index is 2.9% is the increase for the 12-month period. And so that would be the increase that we would recommend as a salary adjustment authority-wide. And then in addition to that would be a performance or incentive pay pool. We had that also last year. In fact, it was 1.5%. It was a little bit less last year. But we felt like it was important to raise that a little bit up to 2% pool. Now, this is a discretionary number that is, of course, just allocated based on performance and merit and incentive and things like that. But it's a 2% pool of all the salaries. So that's a total increase of 4.9%. And I did some survey myself and our finance staff, did some survey in the last several days and trying to see what other cities and river authorities were doing to the extent. Obviously, we couldn't get every entity we wanted to reach, but got quite a few of them and found out that on the municipal side, a range of anywhere to 4-5% increase total. Now, they had different programs as to how much of that might be in a authority-wide or a COLA or cost of living type thing and how much that might be performance. But 4-5% was the majority of them were sort of in that range. There were a few of them that were a little lower than that. They were in the 3-4% range. But most everybody was actually up above 4 and approaching 5%. And even two or three river authorities that I discussed, that I talked with, I did reach three of them, and they were all in the 4-5% range. So it's pretty consistent with both municipalities and some of the other river authorities in the state. Benefits, we have actually good, continued good history on benefits. Our medical history has been very, very good. Our benefits are we're only projecting a 3.4% increase overall in benefits. Almost no increase on the medical side. Most all that increase is in the retirement plan contribution. And the reason that is based on our actuarial requirements. We're still catching up a little bit from the downturn in the market back in the early 2000s. Even though our plan is recovered and the way actuarial stuff, it sort of smooths that impact. So you still recover that over time. So there's on the 31st, on our retirement plan committee, on the 31st, for you, all of y'all there, you'll get more detail. Our actuary will actually be here and can explain what's going to happen on the actuarial plan. It's up a little over $100,000 is the requirement for this next year over last year. So that's where most of the increase. Our medical side, like I said, we have continued to have very, very good luck to date. We have a very healthy reserve balance. We're primarily self-insured on the retirement. We do have a stopgap that once we get over $80,000 in a given year in a claim and insurance, we're basically self-insured up to that point, but have had very good results and history at this point. In addition, we have an increase in positions. And this is, if you refer to page 12-3 in your book, if you have it, you turn to 12-3, there's a little more detail about this. This is just the summary of it. And what it basically shows on full-time, that we have four additional full-time positions, but let me explain what those are in three part-time positions. Two of those full-time positions currently are the inspector positions, the compliance inspector positions at Possum Kingdom, which was discussed at the previous board meeting and approved by you all as part of some of the PK. I think it was the shoreline management plan, I believe, or something that ended up recommending those additional compliance officers. So two of the positions are those compliance officers that we have. Now, we're continuing to look at that and make sure whether hiring that internally is still the best way to do that. We have not hired any of those yet. The money is in the budget as a position, as internal positions. But if we determine that that is more cost-effective to do that through a third party and not hire them in-house, then we will do that. And the monies, will be adequate to do that if that's the case, or we'd do it. So we're going to continue to evaluate what's the most cost-effective way. But that's two of the full-time positions. And the other two positions that are additional are in the Central Basin area, and these are a pipeline technician and a water treatment superintendent, which really helped to support mostly our cost reimbursable operations, but also support Taylor and support Georgetown wastewater in that same area and stuff in the Central Basin. So, in fact, those positions, even though they're additional positions, will actually get reimbursed from some of our customers. So then we have a trade out of some positions. As you look on that chart, we deleted two positions. The strategic planning manager position was eliminated, and the one of the water services positions, a water resource planner, we moved another individual into that position that was already here, and so we eliminated that position. So that was a decrease of two positions, and then we replaced one of those with an additional person in the legal department, and then another person, depending on how you want to look at it, a sludge haul driver that we're going to add. We have two in our sludge haul operations. You may remember you all authorized us to buy sludge haul equipment, and we brought that in-house, if you will. We have two drivers. We want to add a third driver so we can get more efficiency and operations out of our sludge hauling operations around the clock. So we're going to add another position there. That should also pay for itself over time. So that's the changes on the position side. I'll be happy to discuss that if you care to. Overall, and then by the way, the impact, the financial impact of the positions, whether it's full-time or part-time, on the water supply system is only an increase of about $17,000. In other words, that's the net impact of it. In regards to the number of people that are going in and out, it has a very minor impact on the water supply system because, again, the majority of the additional positions are going to get reimbursed by our cost reimbursable operations.
Tom, like regarding the elimination of the strategic planning manager, was that function eliminated, consolidated? How is it being taken care of?
It was consolidated. If you recall, I gave you a briefing the last time we talked, and it was Terry Lopez that picked up that position as a strategic planner.
The sheet that I handed out, the replacement sheet, is exactly what that refers to. You'll notice that's where we combined the strategic planning group and the technical analysis group together.
One group.
So, any other questions? Next slide. This is, we've talked about some of this already, but this just sort of shows on the O&M expense side some of the changes from the 06 budget to the 06 projected, the 07 proposed. As you can look at it, this particular information in your book is also on tab 3-6 in basically similar amount of details in 3-6 in the middle portion of the O&M side of it. As you look at Possum Kingdom Lake, you can see there's a little bit of the projected is quite a bit lower, $400,000 lower on the projected, and this back up a little on the proposed. When we originally budgeted the PK area last year, we had expected and our plan was to have maintenance, a significant amount of maintenance on the dam. As you know, we've got a dam rehabilitation project, gate replacement project going on. And we had, what had been done in the past, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there had been a sort of split of his group between the maintenance side, which is maintaining some of the gates that are already been replaced, and the rehabilitation of gates 7, 8, 9, let's say, the last gates. What's happened, we believe, is it's much more important to focus this group on the rehabilitation side, not so much on the maintenance side right now. We need to get the rest of those gates rehabbed. We've got some issues with gates 7, 8, 9, and we need to accelerate that project. So we have dropped back on the maintenance side. We'll catch that up once we get the rehabilitation side. So we end up spending a lot less on dam maintenance, which is an operational cost than we had planned originally in the budget. And we're going to catch some of that up in 07. So you can see it comes back some in 07. So we'll begin to have some of that, but we're still going to focus more on the capital side even in 07. Okay. You can see some of the others are a little bit changed. Granberry's up a little bit on the expense side, and you know, of course, the compensation increase I talked about impacts some of this stuff because salaries and benefits and stuff are sort of part of all these areas and things like that. Lake Limestone's a little bit higher. Pine Creek's about the same. East Williamson County is a little bit higher, but the flows are going up a little bit in 07, so that's why it's a little bit higher. Sugar Land is a little bit higher, but mainly because we've got a full annualized impact. We didn't have that in the budget. Of course, we did in 06, so that you can see it's about the same as 06 actual. The West Central Brazos is about the same, slightly up a little bit. Hydroelectric is up a fair amount, and the reason why that is this year we have the five-year FERC inspection report, I believe is what it is due this year. And so it sort of causes a blip every 5 years on that. And that's what you're seeing in 07 is a required FERC inspection thing, which is a little more than $100,000 for that one item. So that's driving that up a little bit. Federal reservoirs and water contracts, you can see it's up about $500,000. That's what I referred to before, the Corps of Engineers, where they have increased their O&M costs to us. And so we've had to pass that. Basically put that into our budget as those expected costs. Regional basin management, both upper, lower, and central are all is pretty consistent, not changing too much in total. Technical services is up, but the reason is more that's really related to more of an organizational change. What we did is we moved from the strategic planning area. We used to have the Brazos G administrator and also one of the person I was talking about that became a water planner was in the old strategic planning group, and those got moved into water services, which in the technical. So they basically moved from planning services to technical services. And so you can see that planning services is way down, technical services is up. But so they really offset each other, except that they're really a total net savings even greater as a result of the organizational change from that. So. And some of that because of the strategic planning manager's position is gone. And then some of that Brazos G is down a little bit, too. The
the projected expenses for Brazos View, which is sort of a, some of that's a pass-through, most of that's a pass-through cost to us, is down. So that sort of explains why those differences. And then central services unallocated. We allocate central services throughout all of these areas and are cost-reimbursable. And then some amounts don't end up allocated out completely. When we, as many of y'all know, R.W. Beck is completed, it's just about completed, and it's actually passed over to us, a cost of service model, which is a very elaborate, comprehensive model, which will we will plug this budget into. And they, in their model, they have a much more involved allocation methodology of how to allocate some of our central service costs and things like that. When we use their model to do it, it'll do a much more accurate job and really a better job in allocating. We won't have probably such an item as that. It'll, all the central services will get allocated out.
John?
Yes?
How many facilities are represented in federal reservoir and water contracts?
All of our federal reservoirs, I think there's, you'd say 80, including, or is it 9, including Lake Waco, I think, is in there. I think it's all 9 federal reservoirs are included in that. And then the water, and let me say this. The 9 federal reservoirs, and what water contracts is the LCRA contract. A big chunk of that $4.2 million, $1.8 million, is buying 25,000 acre-feet of water from LCRA.
I understand. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me that 9 federal reservoirs are operated at a cost to us of less than $4 million?
That's just the O&M cost associated with those reservoirs.
I understand. But that's just O&M up there on Possum King and Lake Granberry and Lake Limestone, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. You got to keep in mind there's
the conclusion, and the question is, should we contract with engineers to operate Kingdom, Possum Kingdom, Lake Granberry, and Lake Limestone?
Sorry, I got a question. Michelle will start.
On the federal reservoir,
this is Michelle.
O&M, we don't pay the entire O&M for the lakes. We're only paying a portion of it. If you look at the total O&M, for those 9 lakes, it's much higher.
Okay.
That's right.
It has to do with the conservation pool, right? Mm-hmm. It has to do with the conservation pool and the amount of water that we're at that we're able to get out of there.
That's exactly right.
Or just conservation.
So we're not paying all that. So anyway, that's the detail of the expenses. Further questions on the O&M side? We're going to go to the capital side and look at capital projects. Our total capital projects, and this is tab 10 in your book, has got the detail of the capital project side. There's a total of $33 million of capital projects there, and I've broken them down really into 5 categories depending on how they're paid for. The yellow category is how much is being paid for out of PRA reserves, the $8.4 million that I referred to before. That's being paid for out of reserves. The biggest piece, of course, is debt funding, the purple piece. And basically two debt issuances. We'll get to that in a second that take care of that. Grant funded, the white represents the monies we get, the monies we're actually getting from grants for projects. We get reimbursed $900,000 approximately. And then system rate funded, the sort of goldish piece, $600,000 that I'm going to explain here in a minute, which are project expenditures that are actually built into our O&M, not in our O&M, but in our system rate calculation. And then cost reimbursable. That $1.6 million actually that represents 2 projects at SWATS that SWATS customers will pay for, pipeline, new raw water pipeline, and a TxDOT reroute thing that's paid for actually by TxDOT, not the customers, but it's reimbursed. Okay, next slide. This is the first part of that. These are, again, a lot of the projects that we talked about in the very first slide. These are for the 7 years. And this is the expenditures. Now, this is all the middle column. The left column is the total project sort of inception to date budget. The middle column represents the expenditures projected for 07 out. That's all going to be paid for out of BRA reserves this year. The grand flood control, you can see, is $1.7 million. That's under an agreement we had with the federal government. We've already paid. It was a $4.2 million BRA obligation. The 1.7 would represent the last amount of that. Once we pay the 1.7, we'll have paid all of our obligation.
Now, then the status of that is that this is the last year that we pay for that, but the project is not complete. However, because the Corps has been involved in this and we've been trying to push this, we believe strongly is that all of our liability now will have passed because we have fulfilled our contractual right of the $4.2 million. And they bought out all the domiciles, if you will, and now what's not done is the doing of the parks and doing of those things that were kind of the finishing up of the product. So the liability for the BRA, again, is gone. And I hearken back to a conversation I had within a month after I got here and was with our former general counsel, and the word was, what's our biggest liability? And he said, as far as it's the Graham flood control. So that's now, that hopefully that debt's paid.
The other projects, business crisis, the EDR remediation, that's really would be for legal fees as we await ruling on the appeal process and where that might go forward. That it may end up needing to be different at some point. We'll have to see, but that's what we've got in there as a placeholder. The UFRO remediation, that is really not legal fees anymore. That actually represents restoring some of the capacity to the facility that the BRA is going to step up and do, which is adding some more, rehabbing the racks, the UFRO racks, and adding additional racks and things like that. And that's the cost that we would incur associated with that. As you look on down, the raw water line remediation, that is primarily legal fees. That'd be legal fees continuing to negotiate and mediate that settlement. Then there's the PK property management, $500,000. It's really a placeholder for the next phase, if the board chooses to do so, the next phase of the PK property management study. You could say phase 4, 5, or 6 or whatever out there to decide if it's development of a master plan or whatever would be done. But it's we've put $500,000 just in the project budget for that. The groundwater acquisition, $420,000, is what John Baker was referring to in acquiring the rights to whatever groundwater leases that we would do so, and it's primarily the upfront cost that, and then probably some other consulting services stuff. We may not spend all of that out, but that's the budget for that. System permit application, that's continued work on the SysOps project. There's a PK erosion project. We're going to do a little engineering work downstream from the dam on the left bank. That's going to start. That actually will be a bigger project. I might add, interesting enough, you see it's $1.3 million in total. That was actually a project that was identified by Fries and Nichols on their analysis when they did the repair and replacement fund. And is one of the items that's actually in the repair would be paid from the repair and replacement fund as that project goes forward, because it's considered to be an emergency repair type item. So that's an example of how you'd use the repair and replacement fund, and then you'd restore. You'd spend it down out of the repair and replacement fund and then restore the repair and replacement fund through your budgeting process over time. Lake Granbury, D. Cordova, we're going to start a process of some rehabs of the gates there. Some of the painting and thing that we did several years ago is needing to be reworked some, and so that's the beginning stages of that. The West Williamson County project, that continues to be some of the engineering study of that project. The Lake Granger groundwater intake, you heard that earlier today about the beginning stages of the intake project and working with the Corps of Engineers on that. And then Allen's Creek continues to have a little bit of expenditure as we go forward. Next slide. Okay, these are the debt-funded projects. That's where the biggest piece of that pie, you remember, was. And the biggest piece of it is represented by the East Williamson County. The contract that you all were just looking at earlier today with Archer Western, that's the expenditure projected. Now, the contract you approved was $17.3 million, I believe. That's going to 08. So that's why I don't have all of that budgeted in 07. That's because you're going to have some of that. I think it's about an 18-month project or something like that. So some of that cost, we're just estimating based on the schedule how much of the expenditures will be in 08. The PK Gates project, the replacement, as I mentioned, we're on Gate 7 right now. I think our anticipation is we will complete Gate 7 by the end of the year, I guess, or fall or something like that. We're working on Gate 8 also, And then hopefully as soon as we complete gate 7, we can move bulkhead over to gate 9 and start working on gate 9. Try to get that project finished up in the next couple of years. The barge ramp and spillway, that's a new little element of that project where we're going to need to build a ramp so we can move our barge around stuff, and it's going to hopefully be debt funded out of the gate replacement project. That was sort of added this year. PKESP is the elevator shears and pin stocks. Tiffany, that was part of that is the contract she had approved today on the powerhouse walls and things. Remember that contract was about $900,000. That's out of that $3.5 million, and there's other projects and other parts of that project going on as well, but that ties into this. So, and then the other things, grant local funded projects. You can see what I put in there is how much of it was the middle column represents the total expenditure that will flow through VRA. In these cases, we pay the total amounts and then we get reimbursed by various entities for it. So that represents the total cost. I put in parentheses how much we expect to be the VRA share of that cost, and that varies by whatever agreement and whatever the nature of the agreements are, but you can sort of see what those are at this particular point. There is an airport upgrade project of $1 million that it would be a 90-10 funding by the TxDOT's part of FAA or something. TxDOT Aviation would fund it, and so approximately 10% of that would be the VRA, and the rest would be theirs. Then some of the PK, the restroom projects, and the recreational development, that's the trails project, I believe, Mike, if I'm not mistaken, the continuation of the trails project. Yes?
Last year about this time, we agreed to withhold or to remove from the budget $1.5 million for security upgrades with the idea that we were going to apply or grants and all these various things. I do not see a line of status on the security assets funding or grant applications. Do we have none in process?
As far as I don't believe we have any at this point. We don't have any projects associated with that would be grant funded at this point.
That was a stipulation of which we removed the $1.5 million from consideration last year.
I'm sure the status of the of where those the applications or what application might have been made or where that stands at this point. John Baker, anybody's in here to answer that?
I guess part of the thing would be is there a procedure by which we investigate possible sources of grant funding for that kind of thing?
Oh, I'm sure absolutely.
How does that work?
Is.
We have a quarterly security meeting of all the project managers, and Daryl and Lee and John Baker and everybody and Hoshin. We sit in here and talk about those type of things. And this year so far, we just talked about it. We have not gone about it. But that's the avenue to say. And then when Daryl goes to those two different conferences, he hears that there's funding available or not available, or these things are coming up, or a priority has changed. Are the Homeland Security or some of those things changed? We pursued trying to get in the funding stream, and we're not successful with trying to get considered. If you recall, we were not eligible for Homeland Security funds last year, and we pursued an avenue there, and we were unsuccessful, and we tried it once, and we didn't try it again.
I know, like in economic development, there's like a quarterly report that various people put out for available funding or grant possibilities. I'm saying, is there such an animal in the
I'll research it and I'll get back to you.
So to reinforce the question, Director Zaccanino would ask you about a line on the in our security area about the water intakes, and that's the area specifically we spoke about, that somehow we're going to inquire or ask or apply for some type of grant regarding the water intakes, and that's what you was asking about. Where are they?
Mike, explain what the airport upgrades in the $1 million.
Smoother surface. Initially, it's about $9,000 for the design effort. that will go into construction, which will take place in the next fiscal year. The net result of this is it will resurface our runway. It will extend our runway an extra 300 feet, which will bring us into compliance with pretty much the standards that TxDOT has for runway length. So we basically get an upgrade of the airfield and extension of the runway for about 10 cents on the dollar.
Will that include working on any of the signage out there? Any of that money go for that? Because the signs are...
I'm not really sure.
Could you repeat the question? I couldn't hear it.
She wanted me to review for y'all what was the scope of the grant that we're pursuing through TxDOT Aviation. I'm sure I can't ask you specifically if the signage is included in that, but it's an overall facelift and a redesign, so I would assume that it does. If it's something different than that, I'll let you know.
What is the current runway length? I don't even know.
It's 3,200 feet, and standard is about 3,500 feet.
We recently did an upgrade in Caldwell International Airport. I think we had a Mexican land there once, so we now call it International Airport. but we had a problem with, even in our non-rural area, compared to PK, with deer and wildlife on the runway, and we applied for the aviation grant at the 90-10 percentage and have had high wire fences all the way around it. Is that a problem at PK, wildlife?
No, it really hasn't been, or at least if it hasn't been reported to us that it has been. Our biggest issue is really keeping the grass down and keeping the bird population away. And I'm not familiar with any wildlife incursions.
Okay. Now at the bottom, the John Hoffman briefed the Westport Bend County. You see, it's the last item down there. Is a potentially very, $50 million project to the extent that regional facility gets built. Right now, our share this year in some of the preliminary design work would be about what we budgeted for is $278,000, of which that would be shared with some other entities. And how that will work out as far as the project and what the BRA's role is all to be decided. So, that's that. Next slide. Okay, this is the last slide of capital projects. This shows that there's some projects that we actually put in. You may have remembered back where I kept saying we're going to talk about it. The $600,000 of project expenditures, this top half is what represents that. And that actually is $630,000. If you add the BRA, what's in parentheses down there, the $46,000. First of all, the first for the Lake Ranger watershed, that's 100% grant. For that project that BRA didn't have any obligation for at this point. Reservoir operations ops documentation, that's a project as a result of another study we did. Says we need to document all our reservoir operations, flood control types of things. So that's a project that we'll do. $92,000 project, about half of it this year, about half of it next year. Lake Granbury Watershed Protection Plan, I think most of y'all are probably familiar with that project. That's a grant funded shared cost. Our share of that would be $161,000 of BRA money this year. The Leon Watershed is another project of an environmental nature. The BRA would be $60,000 out of a total expenditure of $150,000 for the year. You can see the total project cost again on the left column. And then the Corps of Engineers Pool Rise, which we expended some this year, or spending this year, and we'll continue to expend on it as we continue to look at the feasibility of what of the federal reservoirs, what perhaps two or three of the federal reservoirs make sense to perhaps be part of a pool rise project. So there'll continue to be engineering work on that.
What is the status of that project? I know you raised the level of Lake Waco. What's the status of the other lakes?
The status of the other, what that project is?
Yeah.
I would probably, David stood up, so good. So I was looking for you.
The Corps of Engineers has finished are that they're putting together their draft assessment. They've looked at all the core lakes. The BRA has looked at all the core lakes, and now we're kind of in a mode of comparing data so we can understand what the numbers may be. Go ahead.
Is there any lake that you can say right now definitely will be, the pool will be?
I can say that there's some that, that look promising, and that's like Lake Proctor, Steelhouse Hollow, Lake Granger. But before I could go any further than that, I've got to understand some of the finances behind any improvements. This is just basically, if you raise the lake so many feet, how much water do you get? So we haven't really delve into the finances.
As many of y'all may remember, Lake Wakefield raised their lake 7 feet a couple of years ago, and that was a $30 million project. It's what Lake Waco paid. I guess it was all paid by the city of Waco, I believe, paid. So, for just a point of reference. But. Then there's a Lake Granbury flood control study that's hopefully will be a joint-funded project to help develop some flood control plan there and everything. That's also there's about a 50-50 study if the grant comes through on that. And then I mentioned the cost reimbursable projects, the two SWATS projects, the building of the pipe with the parallel wall, raw water line pipeline of about $1.2 million, and then the TxDOT's over there with the reroute project that they reimburse, that we get reimbursed for. So those are cost reimbursable. Okay, next slide. This is just a slide shows you the amount of debt outstanding. Again, now this comes from its tab 11 in your book. It has a lot more detail on the amount of debt that the authority has, both water supply system debt and our contract revenue debt that our customers are responsible for. The top half water supply system debt revenue, our revenue bonds, about $51 million of outstanding revenue bonds, including the issuances that were done last year. And then federal reservoirs, that's our long-term agreement with the federal reservoirs, but you have to pay back over time for the water supply. So the water supply system has about $90 million of outstanding debt as of the end of this year in principle. Then the contract revenue side, the water supply, the $36 million water supply, that's the Williamson County Regional Raw Water Line. And those customers, Georgetown, Round Rock, and others, Chisholm and Russian Creek and Jonah, they're all on the look for that. And then water treatment, the $36 million, that's SWATS. That's the SWATS facility and those five customers that are obligated for that. And then the last $2.7 million is Temple Belt. It's the remaining debt on Temple Belt. So that is what the debt situation is currently. Next slide. This is this year the proposed debt issuance that we discussed a little bit to finish the East Williamson County project. $17.4 million would be the principal amount that we would issue that debt for to be able to raise the money that is needed to be able to finance that project, the rest of that project. I have on there West Williamson County. That was sort of a carryover from last year. Again, depending on how that project goes, that might be somewhere we buy capacity in that facility, perhaps next year, but that'll be something. You're not really approving that or anything at this point. It's just there for information, and it may change between now and next year as to what we do on that project. That's just a potential debt issuance associated with that situation. So the main thing is the 17.4. Will we bring back in October a debt resolution, a proposed debt resolution, certainly more specific, just like we read today on one of those other long, lengthy resolutions that we'll get to read in October as a result of that debt issuance. Next slide. Okay, real quick, the last part of this, and this comes from tab 3. In your book, the last two pages of tab 3 are the five-year forecast that we do. And so we just, of course, update it. Each year as we do the budget and add another year to it. Next slide. This talks about the assumptions associated with it. What you'll see down at the bottom, we'll see it a minute on a slide, but if you turn to page 319, you'll see down there toward the bottom the proposed system rate increase. You can see, of course, 5250 is this year's rate, but you can see the rates projected for the next 4 or 5 years will be in the 5 to 6% range, between 4 and 6% range, just based on the projections we have now. Lake operations will have a pretty good size increase in 2008. We don't see the impact of the the cottage lease methodology change in 2007, but since it's effective January 1st, 2008, we will see the impact of that, and there's a pretty big jump in that as we anticipate a number of the customers of the lessees to opt for the new lease rate methodology, the new discounted methodology, so it'll create an increase in revenues there. And then from there on, since those are locked in for 5 years, there will be some increases, and we're probably being a little bit conservative by just saying 5% annual increase, but we don't really know how exactly that's going to change going, but it'll probably go up a little faster than that, frankly, in out years. But anyway, that's just to give an idea of what's happened on lake operations. And of course, there may be some other fees and stuff that we discuss with you all about and other things over time in the next year or so. Hydroelectric, what we assume we're continue to be in discussions with BPC on hydroelectric. We have hopes that we'll have an agreement with them where they will get paid. They will take over the operations of that facility and pay us basically a lease fee or of some sort. We have budgeted $500,000 per year of revenue associated with that in anticipation of that, but that still is being negotiated and worked on.
Let me tell you where that is. Steve asked me the question. I talked to him Monday last week, and he says, in my lifetime, will we ever get rid of the hydro deficit at PK? And the answer to the question is that this Friday, we're going to have a prayer meeting with them yet once again. And there's really they have no incentive, quite frankly, to do anything different than what the contract says now because they've got such a sweet deal. And so we're at the point where we've said, hey, look, we can't continue to just to keep throwing money down a hole here. You guys need to either help us or we're going to have to go someplace else. So that meeting is supposed to happen Friday. I'm not sure that we feel very comfortable that they're going to jump up there and do that. But yet this is another strategy that we're going to try to use to get them to get off the dime. And that's exactly where we are right now.
So you go someplace else, what are
the options? It would be, we'd lose some, John and I talked about this, but it may be easier to shut it down. Rather than just keep pulling $800,000 a year down a hole.
What does that do to the park?
Well, there's some implications, but I mean, that's where we are. If they refuse to budget, I mean, if they refuse to budge, then that puts a course of action that we didn't think we were going to have to go to, but we may have to look at the options.
If it comes to that, would they have more incentive to try to do something? I mean, if we shut it down?
I think so, because it gives them, they have great flexibility by having that capability right now.
Yeah.
Part of our negotiations or discussions with them have been that the fact that we're operating at such a loss can't continue forever. There's some language in the contract that intimates that if at some point it becomes infeasible to operate, then you may be able to shut down. The question is, what creates that, you know, the language is ambiguous in terms of what really creates a trigger. We could certainly take the position that because it's not financially feasible, you know, for us or them to operate it because we've offered it to them, that we would close it down. And we've talked to them about going that direction. So I'll tell you that really that's what's gotten the discussions and negotiations this far. I think I'll defer to Terry and Kent, but I think we've made it very clear to them that they need to really look strongly at this because if forced to, we may have to look at shutting it down. And I think that there are some benefits that they get in terms of the ability of quick start capacity and so forth that they have from that facility. So we're trying to get it down. Really, I think this is a negotiation to talk about money more than anything else. I think that's what we're down to. The terms and the concept have been talked about. I think we're as close as we can be on that. Now it comes down to, you know, how much. Part of what we've asked for is a fixed fee, you know, a flat amount that they would tender to us in exchange for leasing that facility. And it comes down to seeing whether they're willing to pay it or not.
We've made an offer and they haven't countered and won't yet or haven't yet. And so, I mean.
Did I hear somewhere that's what this portion of the grid depends on for Black Star capability?
Say again.
Did I hear somewhere in the briefing that is the Black Star capability for this portion of the grid?
They can bid on that. We don't know if they do or not, but they have the capabilities of using this for Black Star.
Is that the only one? I thought I was told maybe that was the only one around. In this
that I don't know. I don't really know.
Maybe I wouldn't.
I don't know if Brazos Electric has other alternatives for that or not. I know that. I don't know of any other hydroelectric unit that they're running. Everything else is either coal fire or gas fire, as far as I know.
Everything else goes down. You got to have some way to get something rolling. Just start from nothing. And if you can use hydroelectric, you've got some power going down a hill that you can run a generator and get something to fire everything else up with.
Bootstrap
it up. Yeah. I may have been asleep that day or whatever, but I thought I heard that somewhere or read that somewhere. If so, that presumably would have a value, I would think.
Sure. But what I understand is that they have to bid this and actually make the application for it. And be,
of course, if they've
done that,
we don't know. As far as I'm
concerned, it'd be worth finding out.
Okay. You see, that some of the other assumptions, the grants that we just assume $1.4 million per year, we don't exactly, but that's the current grant level in 07, so we just assume that. And interest income, we just assumed a 5% interest rate out for the next 5 or so years, just generally speaking on our interest rate assumption. The next page, these are assumptions on the expense side. We assume increases by just 2% each year. You may remember what I was talking about, except for that Corps of Engineer increase that we were faced with this year. And we don't anticipate having that kind of an increase again, although our indications are that the Corps is going to increase the expenses next year some, but not nearly that much. But in the absence of that, our O&M expenses were only up 1.5%. So we just used a 2% increase each year just to sort of project O&M expenses. East Williamson County, we have a particular schedule showing the expected flows and the expected expenses. We use that. The debt service, obviously we have schedules for debt service. We put those in. Hydro, we just talked about. We put in some expenses for hydro that we will continue to have even the operations associated, because we have some debt service and some FERC-related things that we continue to have associated with that. Capital outlay, we just use $600,000 a year, which is just as a sort of round number, because we know we're going to continue to have equipment replacement and vehicles and things like that we'll need to do over time. And then capital improvement projects are sort of what we have in our CIP program. Next slide. This is just a summary portion. Of course, what is on page 319 in your book, it has a lot more detail. But you can see that, again, the first column, obviously, is the 07 budget, which, as we talked about, starts at $31 million, goes to $24 million. Meaning, working capital, and this just shows the revenues based on those assumptions I just discussed, and the expenses as to how much revenue is available for coverage, what the debt service, both the existing debt service and what new debt service, new being debt service we are proposing to issue this year, which is the rest of the East Williamson. That really is just represented by the East Williamson County project. Okay, and that's really the same debt service because we have some interest on them. We actually are going to capitalize some of our debt in that project to keep the cost down in the early years, and that's why the debt service is going up in some of the out years as we migrate toward full to pay more of the debt service in the later years as the project begins to carry more flows and stuff and create more revenue. See the capital projects, and those are just the projects that we have on the board. You can see they're going down over time. There'll probably be more projects added over time, so the budget will continue to have some pressure of projects, and we'll have to continue to prioritize what our projects are as we go out over time. But you can see that based on those assumptions, the balance, the working capital balances, reserve balances, remain in roughly the $20 million range based on those assumptions throughout the period. And I might also add that on the revenue side, if you remember back when we talked about Gulf Coast Water, the revenues do not assume that the 23,000 acre feet of water will be recontracted. So to the extent that that gets recontracted, that will increase revenues and will improve the picture accordingly, as would any other water sale. We actually do include some water sales in 08 because we believe that we're going to sign the deal with Chisholm Trail to buy some more water in the Williamson County area. But it is not contracted for yet, so I didn't put it in the 07 budget because I didn't want to, I wanted to be fairly conservative and not put something in that we don't have a contract for. But we did assume it would happen by 08. So that's in there, but really there's no other water sales, volume-wise, that are in there beyond that. So we're being fairly conservative from that standpoint. Next slide.
Where would Allen's Creek get in there?
Allen's Creek is not, except just there's...
It wouldn't be in that piece?
No, would not be in here, because we're not, Allen's Creek, we really don't anticipate. I mean, we do have some O&M expenses, and we do have some project expenses, but they're only about... O&M expenses are only about $10,000 or $15,000 a year. It's just some of
that. I saw a little number in the
It's middle. A little number. There's not much going on out there. There is some expenses from a project standpoint, dealing with easements and things like that that we have to do. It's about $100,000, but that's a capital project type of expenditure.
So it'd be in the project.
Yes. The Allen's Creek, I mean, as far as the build, you know, of course, the impoundment is way out there in the future. So there's really not much impact in the next 5 years. Next slide. This just shows the impact against the sort of the second part of that schedule. Shows what the system rate projections would be under that, and you can see how the increases would be fairly steady, 4 to 6%, 5 to 6%. That we maintain our coverages. Our coverage ratio needs to be as a minimum one. Well, the bond covenants actually require 1.1, but really our you all some time back had really have a policy in place. It says it should be 1.3. The board policy is 1.3, which is a very good policy to have. So we must stay above 1.3 under board policy, and you can see that we do so. So now the next slide was just a comparison to show you last year. This was that same slide last year as to what we were talking about. And of course, the rate for 06 was 49.65. We said the rate this year would be 54.09. So our rate is actually an increase of almost 9%. So our increase is only 5.7%, and it's 52.50. So from that standpoint, we came in with a good news situation. And in fact, you can see the increases we were projecting were 8 to 9% out, and now we brought those down to 4 to 5, 6%. So it gives you just a comparison of what we were saying. And, of course, it's obviously all subject to change over time, but I think we're certainly moving in a direction that hopefully our water customers will appreciate.
John, while you have the slide out on debt service, how often does our rating get reviewed? Is it on a periodic basis or is as needed? Or
It's sort of as needed. We'll have another rating thing because we're going to issue debt.
Right.
We're going to issue this big chunk of debt on this. So we'll have a pretty formal meeting again with S&P and Moody's this year. Otherwise, you meet not necessarily every year if there's nothing happening. I mean, normally every couple or 3 years, they probably want an update. Of course, if there's some dramatic changing and they hear about it or something, they may want to have an update on that, but not necessarily every year.
Is that twice in the 2 years? Twice in the 5 years.
Right. And what is our rating now?
Our rating is A plus right now.
On S&P.
What our rating is a good rating. Of course, when we issued the debt, the last debt we issued was AAA. Both issuances were AAA because we bought the bond insurance. It almost always makes sense to buy the bond insurance. The cost of bond insurance is more than offset by the savings on the interest rate from going from single A to a AAA rating. And I'm guessing that'll probably be the case again this time. So we ended up issuing AAA. AAA bonds with the
insurance. And since that last time that they reviewed it, you feel like our financials have improved since that?
I think they have. I think they're certainly at least as good as they were last time, if not better. So I think we've remained pretty steady. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Next slide. This just is, and we're down to the last two slides here, if I know you'll be happy to know. This is just from our reserve policy to give you a summary of where we are. The $31 million at the end of this year that we discussed, sort of the breakdown between our working capital reserve, which is 90 days of working capital. Repair and replacement, which we discussed, again, Jim's presentation, the results of that report, it was $4.3 million this year. It's going to be increased by $118,000, so it'll take it to $4.4 million.
in the next year. We don't anticipate a change in it. Now, if we draw it down, then it will go down, and we'll need to have a method to bring it back up over time. We wouldn't necessarily bring it all back up in 1 year. For instance, that erosion project, if we draw it down as a result of that, we will restore it over time because we're actually required to, but you don't have to do it absolutely immediately. Contingency, we just have generally just a $5 million in there as a contingency amount. Really, if you think about the contingency and the rate stabilization, between those two, those are really the amount of money available for unforeseen or project-based types of costs and things like that that are not that. Well, for instance, the $8.4 million, well, you can see that, you know, this next year is projected to be brought down $8 million. Well, it's coming out of the rate stabilization fund. It's where it is from 16 down to 8. And then as it goes down with the next year's stuff. But again, that's subject to change. We certainly would get helped if we could get some pollution control bond monies, or if we spend some of these projects, get reprogrammed, we don't spend some of them, we create additional revenues that we're not expecting, or save money on expenses, things like that will certainly improve the picture. But I think it's still a healthy reserves position that we have going forward. Next slide, last slide. Go ahead. The first thing I think as we just look at the some of the opportunities and challenges we have, I think there's one actually above that. I think we got this thing's programmed a little differently. Go ahead and do the next one. Go ahead and do all of them if you would. There you go. These are just some of the things I listed. Some of these are similar to last year, the sort of the opportunities and challenges we have. Certainly, raw water revenues and pricing dealing with groundwater as well as surface water. As we look to sell the water, we still have to sell to sell 27,000 acre feet that we still have unsold. The pricing of that, lake operations revenue, we certainly have been addressing a lot of that on the PK side, specifically on the cottage leases and then we still have commercial lease issues to deal with and other docks and fees and things like that. Water and wastewater treatment projects, as John Hoffman has talked about, a Westward Bend and the San Gabriel project and the West Williamson County project and the East Williamson County project and all those projects that we're looking at and trying to determine exactly what's our role in those projects and how we would price those and go forward with meeting the customers' needs. Cost management, clearly this is all in the context of continually looking at our cost structure, both from an operational and a capital side, and how we can do the most efficient and effective ways. Looking for federal and state funding, again, down the line of the things that we want to do, whether it's security or whether it's environment or whatever it is how we can maximize the federal and state funding. The raw water line, as we continue to keep trying to get that mediated and settled, our raw water line project. SWATs, as we continue to remediate that project and get that get the capacity back up there. And then, of course, PK Hydro, which we talked about a little bit today, and trying to get forward on recontracting and negotiating a better operation there. So that's the end of my presentation. Let me make one comment. I would like to be sure I recognize, first of all, everyone in our organization, all the staff, and all the support that they've provided in helping to put the budget together, but especially in the finance department. I've got several of the people that were very vital to helping to put this budget, did really the yeoman's work in putting all this together. Michelle Jawal over here, who's the budget manager, and Alicia Arroyo, who's next to her, this budget analyst, Bill Trussell behind them, and Matt Wheelis over here on this side were really the key people, as well as Judy Wallace, who's not in here, but Judy Wallace is really the administrative assistant, really the person responsible for putting really a lot of the production part of the book and putting it together. Just everybody spent a lot of time and effort in putting it together, and I think it was hopefully is a product that meets y'all's needs and answers your questions and from that standpoint. So.
John, I have to say that this is probably as complete, as thorough, as detailed a presentation that I've seen in all the years I've been here.
Yes.
It is a great product, and I appreciate your work and all these folks over here work. It is tremendous. I think if you look at the opportunities and challenges up there, if I may just put my own personal spin on the area of raw water and revenue pricing operations, certainly the first four, I think you all have done tremendous work. If you look at the comparison of budgets or cost management, I think it's in these times and personnel challenges the way they are, I think it's a terrific job. If we can have some resolutions on the Williamson County and the SWATs, the budget obviously looks a lot better. You know, I think we're all working as hard as we can. PK Hydro, which has kind of been a thorn in my side for a long, long time, and I'll just say this and I'll let it go, but if we are supposed to be managers of our assets, and we told a lot of folks at Possum Kingdom a long time ago that, you know, we had to take what we were given and do the best we can with it. And a lot of those people understood us. They didn't like it, but they understood us. PK Hydro is no different. We're losing money there. We're losing lots of money there. To sit here year in and year out and say, if there's an area in that contract that says we're losing money and we can shut it down, I think we ought to.
We decide that. We decide.
I think we ought to.
Throw a monkey wrench in the generator. See how long it takes to come up.
It is just, we're no more of a fiduciary responsible for this than anything else. $800,000 a year is a lot of money. If that contract says this is, you don't have to do that at risk, shut her down.
Perhaps we get on a CK Hydro, we also get on a FERC.
Well, I don't know about that.
I didn't hear what he said.
He said, yes, we get.
I'm saying I'll let him share that with you later.
If we get out of PK Hydro, we also get out of FERC.
But that's a lot of money, and I think it could be obviously much better use.
I think Phil needs to give relay that sense of the board that, you know, that's what we want to press on next.
I mean, it doesn't make sense,
right,
to me. But I, you know, overall, what a you all done a tremendous job, and to be congratulated. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, let me kind of sum with a couple of things, some kind of little factoids. Last year, we lost out of our 200 and plus or minus 54 people, 30 people left us. About two-thirds of those were for more money or better opportunities. About a fourth of them were for cause in some cases, and then there was one individual that was not happy with working at the VRA. We put the chart together, and basically what it says, it's a very small scale chart, but it's in 207, from the system rate, we get about $12.5 million in system rate. In 2019, it jumps up to $21 million, and then it goes up to above $35 million in 2030 once you get the contracts aged out, as you saw on the slide. So we've had a lot of discussion about how do you manage our budget, how do you manage the environment, how do you manage the water business, how do you manage PK and the totality of things, how do you manage not being down in the southern basin forever, and we're just now kind of making in strides down there, how do you manage the doubling population in two of the biggest growth areas in the state. We don't knock a home run on every project, so we look at trying to manage these things, and Jim Forte found an article some while back, and it was basically talked about that an organization needs to balance itself. It's kind of like a portfolio. While some are making some money, others are losing some, but you hope that they average out to where in the long term you're all gained. I mean, that's kind of realistic. So what kind of projects do you need to look into the future? Somebody asked the more I think about it, as your dollar value goes up, as your system rate goes up, what kind of projects are you going to buy? What are you looking at? Where's that money going to go? How do you go into the $1.6 billion in infrastructure that somebody else outside of us says that we need? And so, you know, you need to look at it. What kind of transformation projects is the sludge hauling? Can I come back to you in a year or two now and say, those three trucks you bought, look what it did for us?
Look what we did by internalizing the thing with our planners and the engineers to come up whenever we do our water plant. Look what those things will be beneficial. So the transformation projects, an organization needs to continue to grow. I read a book the other day that says over 90% of the businesses in the United States fail because they can't sustain themselves for 10 years. They can't sustain themselves for 10 years. And then you need projects just to turn on the lights. So there's got to be a balance in that. Some are going to win, some are going to lose, and some are going to break even. And our goal is to make sure that whatever category that project falls into, that we end up in the long run being a winner. That's one. Number two, and the last thing is that this organization, it's taken me a long time to fully understand it. But somebody or something needs to be the buffer or the elasticity about bringing water projects to Texas. Municipalities, whether they're going through a change of thought revelation about groundwater and cheap and going to surface water and expensive, or whether they're going into the groundwater mentality that says, this is mine and I don't care about anybody else, whether they're in the surface water mentality that says, this is Lake Belton and everything within 10 nautical miles is mine and I don't care about the communists that live in Round Rock. All those things have to be brought in together to make this thing work. But the thing that I think I know now, that I didn't know whenever I got here, the thing I think I know is that this organization has to function as that buffer to make those things available that in 5 to 10 years from now, whenever somebody at maybe a half of the Dublin population turns on the water, that it's there, and it's water, that it's, the quality is good enough for them to drink, for your grandbabies can drink the water. That's what we're kind of all about, is trying to make that happen. And some days we feel like that we do it better than others. Some days people like us, and some days people hate us. Sometimes the customers don't like us. Sometimes you don't like us. Sometimes we don't like ourselves. But this is a very, very complex business. We are better this year than we were last year. We're not as good as we're going to be, but we are better than we were. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Does anybody else have a comment or observation?
Not on budget, but we've all received two letters, again, from Possum Kingdom, and had a presentation today. Is there someone going to resolve those kinds of...
What we're doing exactly that, at noon we had 23 total, 22 total. What we're going to do, we're going to put them in the same format that we did in the shoreline management. And we're going to say, here's every one of them. Some of them call us, you were a turkey then, you're a turkey now, and you'll always be a turkey. And some of them is, that's the most stupid thing I've ever seen. You're stealing my house. And then there's some of them that offer some constructive things. And so we'll categorize that. You'll see every one of them. There won't be one that slips through. There's some people that have really, they've really put a lot of thought into making some very, very good comments. So we'll incorporate that. And we'll bring it on to you and read them in a week, and you'll see it like it is.
Mr. Chairman, some of you all have been on this board far longer than some of us. We're sort of relative newbies. And I'd like to see us have a workshop like we did today on budget, but I'd like to see us have a workshop just on strategic development, strategic planning, economic development, to move to all these things we hear snippets about. Like, I've been studying carefully that Water Development Board's 2002 plan and all these various things about the $1.6 trillion infrastructure. What does that mean? How does that really translate to us and responsibilities? And I think it'd be sort of neat to have a workshop just of different folks that have put those things together. I've been reading the region G and O and all H and O and all these things, and I'm amazed by how different even those regional planning groups take a look at areas within our basin and how they approach these things, and oftentimes how they look at us differently and to our role with them and their role to us conversely. But some point along the line, continuing that we will receive no state funds and no federal funds or operations,
we ought to be taking a look, like I do in my strategic planning business when I was working. Mm-hmm. Gee, what is this going to be like 5 years, 10 years from now, as far as particularly this question about infrastructure? I'm greatly troubled by this continuing thing that the board and the legislature keep saying that within our basin we have a $1.6 billion backlog of infrastructure. What does that mean, and what is our role in that?
Well, yeah, I think that's an excellent comment, Bob. I would put this to Phil and your regional managers and some people like that to pose this question. This could be a year off or 2 years off. I don't know whether that we would do this, but the board might think about, well, what would it be like if the folks from Lubbock or the folks from Bryan College Station, and I don't care what the politicos or the city managers, the folks from our southern basin, the central basin, all congregate in an area. And talk about in a work session about, you know, have you heard about $1.5 billion? How much of this is yours? What are you all doing? How are we in there? How do you think we are? How do you think we're not in there? I don't know if that would be constructive. I know that we try to get this done with our customer meetings, but again, that's customer on us. And I don't have that answer. It's a great idea. I don't know if it's how reasonable it is, Phil.
I think the answer is that possibly following Bob's saying is that we ought to do it internally first and let the board understand what they want to do and to tweak it and to get it to the best possible thing, and then venture out at the next level and go out to the regions. But you segue right in. Tomorrow we start customer meetings. In the morning at Georgetown's tomorrow, then we go to Granbury, and then we go down to Richmond, mm-hmm. Rosenberg area. And so those things I was talking the other day when we went through the preliminary or the pre-briefs for the customer meeting. 5 years ago, it was over here in the old building, and like 12 people showed up, ate barbecue, gave them a hat, and they were gone. And that was the whole deal. And then we saw Vince, John Hoffman, and the guy said, you know, maybe we ought to be customer-oriented. We ought to go out to the different areas. And we went up to Possum Kingdom a couple times. We went to Granbury. And those have met with good results. And you really get a lot of interaction. As a result of those, for example, John and the guys, as a result of last year's, the mayor of Temple, in my humble view, all of a sudden the light came on, and he said, "Holy smokes, mm-hmm. we've got some issues here," and they've been working closer this year as a result of that. We've had some people that didn't like us. We have people still don't like us, but there's people that now, because we're out there, our communication capability has gotten better. So those are getting better, and so we'll take that as to get back to you and to say how can we make that process better.
I would make one thing. I served on the Region G planning group from the time there was a Senate Bill 1 till last year before last, and my way of saying it then and now is the document that you have out there is the Brazos G plan is probably not perfect. It's a whole lot better than what we used to have as a state water plan. Right. And even if it's half right, this organization has a lot of opportunities and a lot of ways that I think we will fit into the water in the future of Texas. So I don't know whether it's perfect or not. I don't think it is. But even if it's half right, there's a lot to be done.
Well, I was on H from the beginning. And it seems like to me that we have always depended on our water management strategy, including BRA, as a big part of where we're going to get water from in the future. Now, the issue is when a big plan gets rolled up into one and you take the legislative recommendations to the legislature, then we need to have some input into what they are going to say and how they're going to interact with on the federal level to get this infrastructure in place. If you don't try to influence it there, we're just all writing down management strategies. And we can write them down every time, every 5 years, we'll write down new ones. But we're never going to do it if nobody gets in there and push people that can get the money to do something with it. So maybe what you're saying is trying to call a town hall meeting for all these folks, but I just think that it's getting with the legislature and they're the folks that can push to get with the federal folks to get some money. Because the state doesn't have it. Aren't planning to get it.
I see a significant gap between the Water Development Board, who's supposedly a legislature, the planning board for the whole state. I see a sort of a green thing in their book. When you start going down this direction, I see some things that are just impossible, yet they are sort of, this is the way it ought to be. And I'm really concerned as a policymaker. We've talked about it so many times. We have a role and I agree with Director Johnson, we have a role in recommending to the Water Development Board our position on some of these things. We cannot be reactive. We've got to be proactive before we get hit bad. And I can see that we would be criticized sorely if we haven't looked at them carefully, item by item by item, in that planning document that's supposed to be the policy document for the state of Texas. I think we ought to study it together.
Yes, ma'am.
No, I just have my hand up.
Okay. Any other comments? Thank you very much. We all appreciate you attending today, and we'll stand in here.
I'm wise.
Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'm going to adjourn.
Aye.
Okay, we got it. We'll do it.